Testament. And you can turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew 25. Meanwhile, I'm going to read a couple verses from Matthew 6. Matthew 6 reads like this, "Lay not up for yourselves," this is verses 19 to 21, "lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The burden of the message this morning is to develop an appreciation for the investment that God put into our lives, and also to spur us on to sell ourselves out and bringing others into the kingdom, investing in the lives of others. Matthew 25, we're going to read verses 14 to 30. Matthew 25, verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We look at this parable that Jesus gave, and several things I want to learn from it. We're looking, first of all, the first section of the message I've called How God Invests. And in this parable, we are seeing God investing what is called here talents into our lives. This parable, I believe it was money. But we're going to look at some other things here shortly. I don't believe God invests just money in our lives. In fact, that's probably a minor part of what he invests in us. But we see that all 3 servants were given talents. Yes, differing amounts, but they were each given talents. And I had to think about what are these talents, and I'm just going to read a couple verses from Ephesians 4. I'm reading Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. It says this, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I believe these talents that God is giving us are things that can be used for the furtherance of His kingdom. We could add to that list song leaders. We could add to that list superintendents. We could add to that list janitors. You know, the gift that God has given you, if it is being used for the purpose of furthering His kingdom, I believe we can call it a talent given from God. The purpose of the talents is, as we saw in these verses, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, it's to grow the church. It's to bring souls to God. And to come back here to Matthew 25, these servants were not only given talents, but when we look at the response of the Lord to the servants as He came back, some had put their talents to use and gained investment money on it. Others, the one had just buried the talent and returned that one talent. We are expected to put our talents to use. God expects us to take the talents that He gives us and to use them for the furtherance of His kingdom. God does not want us just to bury that talent. He's not looking just to get back what He gave us. He's looking to get back something that grew, something that expanded, something that gained more value. Matthew 18, I'm going to read a few verses from there. Turning to a lot of scriptures this morning. Matthew 18, we're going to read verses 11 to 14. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I see something significant in verse 11. And it says it in very few words. But I believe it's very significant. Christ came. Christ had to leave glory. He had to leave just going to give a little illustration to see if we can wrap our minds around what Christ did. And this falls far short of it, but had the opportunity one time to be on a boat on Lake Washington. And there, as you're boating that lake, on one of the shores of the lake, is a huge mansion. A house with things like indoor swimming pools, indoor tennis courts. It was actually more of a complex than a house, but all under roof, all under one roof. It was the Gates Mansion. And Bill Gates is known as a man that is very savvy, very intelligent. He knows how to make a financial investment. If he would take that house and trade it for even up with a poor person somewhere for a clay hut, Would the news lift him up as having made a wise investment? I don't think so. But this is what Christ did. Christ left behind his riches and glory and came to earth to live among humanity, where we have nothing but imperfection, mortals made from dust. Christ came. He laid the one aside to come relate to the other. What did he come for? Well, the rest of these verses make it pretty clear. He had sheep, but he was seeking lost sheep. He was seeking the ones that wandered, the ones that went astray. That's you and I this morning. That's you and I. Without Christ coming out and seeking us, we would have nothing. Was that a good investment for God, Christ? Was there something there that he was just had to come to seek? I mean, was it like hidden crystals of gold? I don't really think so. Christ came and took what was there and made us into something new. How God does investments. You know, what God does is not at all the way man thinks. God takes something that's broken and fixes it. God takes something that's of no value and makes it of value. In the financial world, we talk about IRAs, investment retirement accounts. And the basic concept is we put money there with the intent that it will gain money by the time we need it in retirement. With the work that Christ is doing, he puts things in and he makes the gain. Okay, let's look a little closer at our investments. I'm going to turn to Matthew 6. While we're turning there, I would like to hasten to say that the things that God invested in through Christ are obviously the things that are important for us to place our investment in. So we need to invest in lost souls. As we look at these verses in Matthew 6, we're shifting our focus just a bit, looking at some practical things we can do to further Christ's kingdom. I also want to see practical ways to do it, because Christ brings that out here in these passages. Matthew 6, I think I'm just going to read verses 1 to 18 at this time. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We have here several practical ways of reaching out to mankind. That is what God is asking us to invest in. He's asking us to invest in mankind. Verses 1 to 4 talk about alms. And alms is money that we use to give to poor people, people that are in need. If God gives you money, then we have a responsibility to share with those that are in need. He goes on to say how this should be done. He says this should not be something that we do to be noticed of men. In a few minutes, there will actually be an offering plate passed. And that's a moment of challenge for us. Do we do what we do in secret? Or do we do it to be open? And I think there's ways that we can do it in secret. Just how you put something in makes a difference in whether it's seen or not. I personally like the envelope system, where you can stick stuff in an envelope, put the envelope in white side up. But there's other ways of doing it. The concept is, are we doing it to be seen of men? Are we doing it for God? Next couple of verses talk about prayer life. And the challenge that I want to let here, it talks about praying in our closets. Are we praying at home? Or is prayer a ritual we do in services? Is prayer a part of my daily life? Something I do behind the scenes? Am I praying for that struggling brother? Am I praying for strength to be able to reach out to others? Am I praying for the grace to be faithful? Next thing I see here is another investment is forgiveness. That's possibly harder than any of the ones we talked about so far. That means somebody did something wrong against me, and I forgive. What is forgiveness? Is it not laying that down? Is it not asking God to take those feelings of resentment for what they did out of my heart? Is it not dismissing the issue? Laying it to rest, not bringing it up. This is an investment that God is asking us to make. Next couple of verses, verses 16 to 18, we see fasting. And fasting means forgoing food when I'm hungry. Setting it aside so that I can take that time to focus on prayer and my relationship with God. We don't like to forego food when we're hungry. But this is an investment for eternal values. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Matthew 5. If we turn back a chapter, verses 21 to 25. 21 to 26, pardon me. Verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Another investment God calls us to make is that of relationships. Relationships among humanity can be so fragile. We're so quick. By nature, we're so quick to be offended. We can see that that was done against me. But these scriptures here are asking us to grow past that, to lay that aside, and to go to the point where if I witness that my brother has something against me, that I take the initiative to go and see if we can rectify this, to see if we can bring peace. That I sacrifice things to try to heal that relationship. In fact, it places this I want to be careful how I say this, but in this passage, it actually said we need to pursue this. I'm going to say even as we're pursuing a relationship with God. It talks of somebody that's coming to worship. And this passage here is teaching us that if we know that somebody has something against us and we haven't done what we can to rectify this, that we need to rectify this, the human relationship, before we can expect to have worship in our relationship with God. Okay, the returns. The third main section of the message this morning. And I'm pulling those from Matthew 16, some of the verses we already read. Verses 14 and 15 in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive, God forgives you. If I'm willing to forgive, God forgives me. Another thing that doesn't come out here that strongly in the verses that I read, but one of the beauties of investing in another is many times there is a reciprocal relationship. You earn a friendship. You win a friendship with others. We're going to go to Matthew 25 and actually read a few more verses beyond what we read. We're going to read verses 31 Because we're just going to read to verse 34. Kind of breaks in the middle of a thought. We need to bring this to a close. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We really can't stop there. Let's go on to verse 40. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Here, the King of Glory was commending his followers, those who had invested in the lives of others without even thinking about what they were doing. They invested, they reached out, they touched lives, they spoke to individuals, they met physical needs. His words to them was, Come, ye blessed, inherit the kingdom. The returns are great. And I'm just going to close the message again with the same verses we opened with, Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And how do we put that treasure in heaven? That's what we saw here in Matthew 25. Just serve God faithfully. And as we're doing that, we do that, we serve humanity. We serve the people around us. We help them on the way, whether it's physical or spiritual. We help them with the needs they have here and now. And my desire, if you don't get anything else from this message, take home the thought of what you do, do it to lay up treasures in heaven, not for earthly status or fame. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.